Welcome back to another Adam Schefter podcast. It is finally here. The journey of 272 regular season games begins Thursday night in Los Angeles when the defending world champion Rams host the Buffalo Bills. And we are here to kick it off with the Packers running back A.J. Dillon, who the head coach Matt LaFleur has referred to as 1A in the Packers backfield, along with the other standout running back of the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Jones. A.J. Dillon will talk about what he's expecting for this current season for both himself, the tandem of Aaron Jones, and the Green Bay Packers as a team. And then we will be joined by the NFL. And then we will be joined by ESPN's research producer, Evan Kaplan, with some unique storylines to the first week of the NFL season as we get ready to kick off all the action. And as we discuss with A.J. Dillon on this podcast, there is a certain feel to week one that you can just feel in the air. It feels like back to school. It feels like the cold weather is starting to come. It feels like the end of the summer is here, and it feels like football is back. It started this weekend with college football, some wild games there, and it continues now with our new season in the National Football League, and it looks like it's going to be a great one. All the quarterback battles are settled. Mitch Trubisky is starting in Pittsburgh. Geno Smith starting in Seattle Monday night against the Broncos. Baker Mayfield is starting week one against his former team, the Cleveland Browns. And who comes up with better drama and storylines than the NFL schedule makers? In week one, we get two quarterbacks going up against their former teams. And that is how the NFL rolls. That's how we will roll today. And we kick it off with a man today who last season had 187 carries, who had 34 receptions, who looks like he's going to build upon those numbers this season and have a chance to go to the Pro Bowl. And it would be something if both he and Aaron Jones went to the Pro Bowl together. It would not be unprecedented. We've seen it before with backfields. Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara in New Orleans are the only Pro Bowl running back teammates in the last 20 seasons. They both made it in 2017. But we've seen Warrick Dunn and Mike Allstott go to the Pro Bowl from the same backfield. And now A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones will be vying to do the same for the Green Bay Packers as they try to go back to the playoffs and try to duplicate the regular season success of recent years and then try to improve upon their postseason success. The Green Bay Packers running back, A.J. Dillon. Thank you very much for taking some time today.
Absolutely. Appreciate your time. Off day, so we're good.
Oh, is that your home office? Like, that's a very cool background.
Home office, gaming room.
Well, so that's your house? That's not like the Packers complex?
No. Yeah, this is the house.
Wow. Where'd you get all those pictures from?
We actually get one of these each time we win a game and you play in the game. The team photographer will print one out. So we've won a lot.
Those are some awesome pictures. Which of those is your favorite?
Probably this one. It's not up yet, but
that's a great picture. You and the QB hugging. When was that picture taken?
I want to say the second Vikings game last year. I had a good day that day. Or yeah, either second Vikings game or the Rams game. It was definitely at home.
And so what happens here when you run out of space? It looks like you don't have much more space for pictures. Do you just sub them out for the newest picture, AJ?
So they got Velcro on the back.
That's awesome.
If a better one comes along, I'll put that one up.
And those are lifetime keepsakes. That's tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely. Got a picture of Aaron Rodgers, man. I'm good to go.
Oh, that's unbelievable. You know, that is just great. I love seeing that. Awesome. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
How fired up are we about the season beginning, getting started here in Minnesota? A great way to start the season.
Yeah, no, I'm super fired up. Especially after you go through the whole camp process, you're like, I'm just ready to hit somebody else. I'm ready to go out there and play now. Let's play some real football. So I'm excited. And, year three, let's bring it on.
Yeah, you know, it feels like there's a certain atmosphere that comes along with opening week. Like on Labor Day, you could just feel that the season is here. It's palpable. Am I imagining that right? That is it that way for players too?
It's exactly like that. You know, I spent the weekend, we got a little couple days on the weekend off, you know, after camp to, you know, kind of just, you know, take a second. And I was hanging out with my family and we were watching college football, and I'm getting the butterflies. Like, I'm out there playing. I'm like, all right, let's go. Like, it's time. I'm running around the room, each, you know, interception or each, you know, each big play in those games. And, you know, for the college football games. And so it's definitely like that. Everybody's, you know, chomping at the bit to get out there and get started.
Do you get butterflies before or during a game?
Absolutely. Not during, but before. My wife calls it the juice. It's not like anxious or anything. It's more just like, I'm trying to just get out there, like use those butterflies for good. They're angry butterflies. They make me run harder.
You know, what's funny, just like I said to you, that you could feel like it's the start of the season and your job is playing football. My job is reporting on it. And you're talking about that juice on Sunday morning. When I get up on a Sunday morning, 4:35 in the morning, that adrenaline's pumping. Like, there is nothing like game day, even for a reporter. I got to tell you that, AJ. Yeah. You could feel what a NFL game day is like. Am I imagining that as well?
Absolutely. I mean, you might need some coffee or something up at 4. I don't know if my juice is going that early, but definitely on a game day, or, you know, I mean, we play Thursdays, Mondays, who knows anymore, but, you know, anytime we got a game, fired up.
Now, on the back end of this podcast, we have on this ESPN research producer by the name of Evan Kaplan. And Evan, during this appearance, brought to me a stat that blew my mind that I want to share with you. And I want to ask your assessment of it once you hear it. Do you realize that even though you'll be playing this season without Davante Adams, that over the last two seasons in divisional games, NFC North games, Aaron Rodgers against the NFC North has thrown 38 touchdown passes and zero interceptions.
Man.
38 and zero against division foes. And that's the most consecutive touchdown passes without throwing an INT in a divisional game in NFL history, and he's thrown 380 passes against his division since his last interception.
Jeez.
What do you make of that when you hear those numbers like that? Do you have any idea that it was that like that?
You know, going to practice with the guy every day, it's not hard to believe. You know, I've seen him make throws and, you know, make those smart plays and, you know, stuff that you have to, like, I got to go watch that back on film. So no, I mean, I'm sure at this point he's like overwhelmed with how many records he has. But, you know, that's what you get. He's the best, most talented quarterback to ever play the game. I say that wholeheartedly. And, you know, he's just a master of his craft. So I expect nothing less. It's an amazing, crazy stat or record. It's insane. But, you know, that's just the type of stuff you expect from him.
Did you have any idea that those numbers were what they were until I read them to you?
I had no idea. That's wild to think, like, somebody can consistently do, you know, something like that. You know, definitely respect. But like I said, it's not something that shocks me. You know,
let's talk about you and Aaron in the backfield. Your head coach, Matt LaFleur, said that you and Aaron Jones are 1A and 1A. What are your own expectations for this season in terms of being one of those 1As, whatever that is, AJ?
Yeah. You know, my thing is, I've always said this, and it's just always kind of been the way I've been. I'm all about, you know, I just really want to be accountable. Like, my favorite thing, my favorite stat, I guess, like, when people are like, oh, what are your goals? What are you looking forward to? I like when I go in the huddle and all my guys are in there and they're like, you know what, if – we call on AJ, he's going to get the job done. I said that when I got drafted to the Packers and I did the little press thing. I said, if it's first down or fourth down, whether it's first quarter or overtime, I want to be somebody everybody in the stadium knows, you know, I'm going to get the job done. And so for me, you know, being like, that's, you know, high praise coming from Matt, and especially to be 1A with a guy like Aaron Jones, one of my brothers, somebody I hold at high regard. But, for me to, you know, be out there with him, and I'm constantly learning from him. It's just one of those things where I want to make sure I'm going out there and, you know, I'm just getting the job done. Besides that, you know, the stats and all that stuff, I don't really care. That's not what wakes me up on Sunday morning.
You mentioned being accountable. So what was that like for you to miss 5 games due to COVID when you did?
Man, that was tough. You know, I will say though, I had, you know, a lot of guys didn't have any symptoms. I did end up getting like a lot of symptoms. I know I'm so over, I'm so past COVID and all that stuff, but you know, I was pretty sick. I thought that at first, when we first got the results back, I thought I was going to be done for the season. I forget what it was, or like myocarditis or something. I don't know how to say it.
Oh, myocarditis.
Yeah. So at the point, like obviously this was also peak COVID and we didn't really have much sample size of stuff, but I had to go get a second opinion and stuff. But the first initial reaction was I was probably going to be done for the season. So, you know, I ended up getting back, but I was sick and, you know, I was like sweating, like my bed at home after I got it looked like I jumped in a swimming pool and lay down. Like I was
really,
yeah, I was not feeling good. I was definitely not one of the ones, no symptom guys, but it just is what it is. And we got back, we got healthy. And, you know, I wrapped up the rest of that year, you know, on a good note, on a, you know, going upward trajectory and kind of started to feel more comfortable. And that rolled over and propelled me into last year, which, you know, that growth kept going.
Any lingering conditions from the myocarditis at all that impacts you today?
No, or at least not that I know of. You know, I'm just, I haven't really, you know, I don't get like sick or anything like that. So, no, but it was just one of those things where nobody really knew what was going on at that time. And I mean, even COVID, we still had COVID protocols the year after that. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
I mentioned you and Aaron as 1A and 1A. Have you guys discussed, and does it mean anything to you to be the best running back tandem in the NFL this season and going forward? Is that ever discussed?
Yeah, I mean, we've discussed it, you know, because obviously we see it, you know, we see all the headlines and things like that. But it's one of those things where, like, we look at it and we're like, yeah, we can be. It's not like we are or anything like that. It's just like we know that we both know we can do it all. And we both know that we can get the job done. It's one of those things where every day we go out there, we compete and we're challenging each other. Not in like a jealous way, but more of like in a way to like bring each other up. Like I'll run a run play or, you know, run a route and he'll be like, hey, you could have, you know, taken a couple steps here and did this. And I'll go and I'll critique him. But also when he does something great, I'll be his biggest cheerleader and he'll be mine, vice versa. So we're constantly trying to get better. And then we're like, yeah, we have the talent, we can be. But at the end of the day, both of us are so about winning and just, that's the biggest stat, you know. We don't care about being we want to be the best team in the NFL, not the best running back tandem. We want to be the Super Bowl champs.
But back to the tandem, is there a tandem that impresses you? Like, I don't know how much you're paying attention to it, whether it's Denver or Cleveland or Dallas or another backfield that stands out to you.
I mean, they all got you know, a ton of talent. I mean, even Minnesota. There's so many guys in the league that are, you know, just right now balling. Out of the ones you just said, obviously you got to look at Cleveland. They got two guys there that are awesome. I really like Denver because I like Javonte Williams. He went to UNC, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I just like my ACC guys. So for me, like, it's less than even like. I knew he got drafted and everything. And I was like, hey, ACC, I love it. So, you know, I'm happy to see him balling, a young guy as well in the league. And, you know, it's really cool to see. I still to this day, I think all running backs, you know, when you see a runner make a big play, you get excited. It doesn't matter what team they're on. So, you know, I'll still watch other guys' highlights and other teams when they come up on ESPN or whatever. I'm like, damn, that was a good run. you know, no jealousy or anything like that. It's just like you love to see guys compete if you're a competitor and, you know, make big plays.
Is there one back in the league that you look at and you say, man, that guy is blessed and really good?
I mean, one's hard. Obviously, you got tons of respect for Aaron Jones. You know, I see what he does day in, day out, and, you know, Pro Bowler, all pro, you know, the guy's the best at what he does. Obviously, I'll give some respect for my East Coast guy, John Taylor. Bond had a great year last year. Always been a good friend of mine. And then, I mean, after that, it's just, you know, everybody in the league's talented. But my guys, Aaron Jones, Jonathan Taylor. Yeah.
You brought up the college thing. And in doing some research, I saw that you were ready to go to Michigan, which is my school.
Yeah.
What the hell happened there, AJ?
Yeah, I was committed. I had the verbal commitment to Michigan junior year, or maybe not junior year. I forget when signing day is, but whatever. And I was going on my officials and everything. And I'm out there. And, I mean, I met Harbaugh and Don Brown at the time, who used to be at BC, so I had a good relationship with. And I don't know. Then I tore BC, and I had quite a few offers. It wasn't like, you know, it was BC or Michigan. That's all I had. I went to BC, and you know, they were my second offer ever. They offered me my freshman year. My coaches actually didn't let me know until after the season. They didn't want my head to get too big, but they had offered me my freshman year of high school, and they were the one school that were there from the jump, and they never stopped recruiting me even after I committed to Michigan. They were never talked anything bad about Michigan, but they were like, hey, we're always here, like whatever. And I just consistently started to develop a good relationship with them. And you know, I had a lot of my teammates from high school that went to BC, and you know, it was close to home. I'm from Connecticut, and yep. So it was nice for me to have a lot of the kids and you know, my family and stuff, people that looked up to me and people who supported me, be able to come to those games. And my thought process was, you can go to the league from anywhere. It doesn't matter. So the best place for me was, you know, BC.
So you switched from Michigan to BC. See, we have a few things that are almost in common. Like you almost went to Michigan. I went to Michigan. You got married on June 25th. Mm-hmm. My wedding anniversary is June 24th.
Hey.
Okay. And you're Jewish.
Yes, I am. I am.
Who knew that?
I am.
Like, Are you an observant Jewish person? Like, do you follow the religion? Where are we on that?
No, not as much. I'm kind of in like the bubble, the gray area. My mom and my mom's side of the family does. They're really all into it. I kind of got a little off of it when I started playing football, because all my games were when I would have to go in for Hebrew school and stuff like that. So that, like, for my mom, she was a single parent, so for her to either like bring me to practice at Hebrew school, you know, it was a lot. And so she was like, hey, it's our favorite joke, and it's so real. She goes, hey, if you're gonna do this football thing, you better be good at it. Like, if you're not gonna be going to Hebrew school. So hey, I mean, it all worked out. But yeah,
so being a good football player got you out of going to Hebrew school.
Exactly. I mean, that at the time, I'm like, oh God, more school. I got to learn. I got to sit. I got to do all this stuff. And, you know, I just put it all into football.
Were you ever bar mitzvahed?
No.
And do you fast on Yom Kippur?
I have. So I have not necessarily anymore, but, you know, I still in the reigning champ of finding the Afi Komen. I'm undefeated. Wow, so, yeah, no, I know my stuff. It's just, yeah, you know, living out here and stuff. My family's all in Connecticut, but you know, I'll call them and stuff on the holidays. And you know, sometimes my little sister is, she's 10, and she's really, really observing. She knows all that stuff, and so she'll lead like the Seder and all that stuff, and they'll FaceTime me. And
unbelievable. Are there any other Jewish running backs in the NFL that we know of, AJ?
Right now, I don't know. Few and far to come by, for sure. If there is, somebody's probably out there.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. See, here's my great story with football and Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Michigan. So Michigan had, back in the day, a Jewish safety by the name of Jeff Cohn when Bo Schembechler was the coach there. Okay. And they were playing at Notre Dame on Yom Kippur. And Jeff Cohn made the difficult decision that he wasn't going to play in that game, a big game against Notre Dame. And he told Bo Schembechler his decision. And Bo said, you know what? Take some time. I would play on Christmas. I would coach on Christmas. Why can't you play on Yom Kippur? So Jeff took a few days. He thought about it, and he went back to Bo Schembechler, and he told him he was going to play. And as they're in the tunnel, charging out to the field, Bo Schembechler pounds his shoulder pads and said, let's go out there and win one for the Kippur.
I love it.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, that is really good. That's a great story. I never knew that. That is really good.
I always remember that story. I always thought it was a fun one to kind of follow. And the last thing before I let you go, your quads. Yeah. That is a big difference between you and I. Your quads are probably five times the size of mine. Now that I listen to my similarities. When did your quads develop into what they are, to where they have their own nickname, Quadzilla, Quadfather? Yeah. You've got your own marketing brand with your T-shirts.
T-shirts. We got it all. We got phone cases, anything you want. Quadfather, Quadzilla, it's all there.
And where can people get that stuff, AJ?
You got just AJDillon28.com. Super easy. My name, jerseynumber.com.
See, we can't have you on the podcast and not pump up.
I know. We got to throw in the plugs. Also, I want to say shout out my mom. Hello, if you're listening.
There we go. Have to shout her out, right?
There we go.
A good chance to say Lishanatovata in advance. Right?
Yes.
Hey, AJ, I want to thank you very much for the time today. Truly appreciate it. Lots of luck this season, and very enjoyable to get the chance to connect today before you head out to Minnesota.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate you making time for me and talking to me this morning.
And so there he is, ready for a big season. The Packers standout running back, AJ Dillon. Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. It expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Adam.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
And from the Packers running back to the ESPN research producer, Evan Kaplan, who's got some thoughts about A.J. Dillon's team, the Green Bay Packers, as well as some other big matchups in week one. Joining us now is ESPN's research producer, who's been all over Sunday Countdown in recent years, being used on air more and more, obviously has a face for television, but we're going to put him on the podcast today to kick off week one and all the storylines ahead. We welcome back Evan Kaplan. Evan, how are we doing?
We're doing well, Adam. Looking forward to week one. Glad to be back with you. Been a while, but I always enjoyed being on the podcast. It's great to be back on the podcast. This is where everything started, right? Regardless of how many TV appearances, this is where it all started for me and doing on-air things. So I'm glad to be back.
Evan, are you telling me that I took your broadcasting virginity?
I'll leave that line to you, but you did.
Well, it's quite an honor, and I do appreciate that. And here we are in week one, and we'd love to turn to you for your unique insights, information, analysis on these upcoming matchups and weeks. And we're in week one, and there are, this week, a number of streaks on the line. What stands out to you there?
Let's start with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Always a good place to start when you're talking about today's NFL. And Patrick Mahomes' performance in season opener season openers has basically been flawless, right? He's 4-0. He has 13 touchdown passes, zero interceptions. He's the only QB in NFL history to throw at least three touchdowns in four consecutive season openers. And no surprise that the Chiefs as a team with Andy Reid have won seven straight season openers.
Well, I was going to say that. Is it more Patrick Mahomes or is it more Andy Reid? Because Andy Reid in openers, yep. Andy Reid after a bye, Andy yep. Reid, when given time to prepare for a certain matchup, is very difficult to beat.
I think the two go hand in hand. And, you know, Mahomes' individual performance is impressive, but I agree with you. It's the team portion of the Chiefs and an interesting game for them. Week one against the Cardinals, no Tyreek Hill. So it'll be interesting to see if Mahomes can continue that streak. But certainly impressive so far in his career. The other one that relates to touchdown passes and certainly one of the games of the week with Russell Wilson heading back to Seattle, he is the only quarterback in NFL history to throw four touchdowns in two consecutive season openers.
Wow.
And now we'll be there Monday night. There aren't enough superlatives to say about that game with him returning to Seattle, Adam.
That's going to be an electric atmosphere on Monday night. Seahawks going to be wearing green. Russell Wilson's going to be wearing blue and orange. Nothing's going to be quite what you would think it would be. And that is going to be an electric atmosphere on Sunday night. What about the atmosphere in Miami on Sunday between the Dolphins and the Patriots, Evan?
Really interesting one here. And this is something that, you know, sometimes you dig into these games and you're surprised at what you find. So the Dolphins have actually won three straight against the Patriots. If you go back to the 2020 season and they swept both games last year, the teams played actually week one also in Foxborough. And if the Dolphins win on Sunday in Miami, they will become the first team to beat the Patriots four straight times since Bill Belichick became the head coach in 2000. Now, with all of the greatness that Bill Belichick has accomplished, anytime you can say it will be the first time that a team does something against him and the Patriots, that's pretty impressive to me. So if the Dolphins can, you know, get that week one win, Tua and Tyreek Hill and all the expectations that they have after a busy offseason, first team ever to beat Belichick's Patriots four straight times.
You mentioned Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And this upcoming Sunday, he will battle Kyler Murray for the very first time. What stands out to you about this matchup, Evan?
On the surface, it's a ton of money, right, Adam? These are two of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL and NFL history. Kyler Murray, after his extension over the summer, second highest paid in both guaranteed money and average per year. Mahomes, fourth highest. And now he'll probably get another contract down the road that'll bring him back up that list. But once the game gets started, the thing that sticks out to me is both of these quarterbacks will be without their top wide receiver weapon from last season, right? You look at Tyreek Hill, who won't be there the entire season and going forward for the Chiefs, and then DeAndre Hopkins, who won't be there for Kyler Murray. And so I dug into the numbers and took a look at, okay, how did each of these quarterbacks perform without their top wideout on the field? And Mahomes significantly better. These numbers shocked me. Without Tyreek Hill on the field in his career, Patrick Mahomes, 33 touchdown passes and four interceptions.
Wow.
Now that is an impressive ratio. Kyler Murray without DeAndre Hopkins, not quite as good last season. And there was a pretty good sample size when DeAndre got hurt late in the year as the Cardinals finished the regular season and went into that playoff game. So I think these are storylines that we'll watch throughout the early portion of the season. I think the Chiefs are fascinating with, you know, how they use some of these new receivers, Juju Smith-Schuster, MBS, Sky Moore from the draft, and then certainly the constant in Travis Kelce with all his 1,000-yard seasons. And then the Cardinals, you know, can they replace the production of Hopkins over the first 6 weeks, kind of stay above water in a really tough division until he gets back?
Speaking of quarterbacks without wide receivers, we have Aaron Rodgers without Devontae Adams going to play the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. But really, beyond that game, it's the entire season without Devontae, and it's going to be very interesting to see how the Packers evolve without him. How do you assess Aaron Rodgers and the Packers without Devontae, Evan?
I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the young receivers, come along, because you've got some veteran players there, which I think sometimes people forget. We hear a lot of Rodgers and his young receivers, and he was critical of them earlier in training camp. But, you know, they have Randall Cobb, they have Alan Lazard, they have Sammy Watkins there. So they have a veteran presence. And the numbers in this one, when you look at him in divisional games, it's almost hard to believe. So since the start of the 2020 season, Aaron Rodgers has thrown 38 touchdown passes and zero interceptions against the NFC North individual games. That's 38 and zero. That's the most consecutive touchdown passes without throwing an interception in divisional games in NFL history. To put it another way, he has thrown 380 passes against his own division since he last threw an interception.
That is staggering.
Amazing.
Staggering.
38 to zero over a two-year span against teams that should know him best, right? The Vikings, the Bears, Lions, teams that play him all the time. You know, Zimmer's defenses before he was let go. You know, that's what Rodgers does. He's incredibly efficient in terms of no interceptions. We'll see if he can continue that against the Vikings on Sunday. These two teams played a great game in Minnesota last year that featured a ton of points in the final 2.5 minutes. Vikings came out on top 38-31.
And that's a game I will be watching, I would imagine, on Sunday afternoon as I'm flying to Seattle for the Monday night game, assuming that the TV is working
well
on the flight, which is another issue. Again, we never know what we're going to get on those flights, Evan, especially out west. We've had some bad luck last year flying out west to L.A. on the
you walk on the plane. That's the first thing you check. Nothing else. Doesn't matter. You know, does the seatbelt work? No, that doesn't matter. Does the TV work? Can I watch the late games and the Sunday night games? If that's fine, doesn't matter. Turbulence, whatever. Just give me the TV.
Well, it takes you back to last season, of course, when we're flying to L.A. and I literally booked my schedule so that I could be on the flight to watch the 49ers at the Cowboys on JetBlue.
Yep.
Right? We get on the flight and I go to CBS and it's not working. And I say, you got to be kidding me. Fortunately, I got to watch the game on Nickelodeon, which was during the broadcast, which was an entirely different broadcast because Nick Bosa goes down during the game with a concussion or wherever it was. We don't hear anything about Nick Bosa being hurt the rest of the game. We heard about, you know, their favorite fantasies and whatnot, but nothing about Nick Bosa's condition.
Who was getting slimed.
Exactly. So, by the way, if CBS or another network is out on Sunday, Fox, there's no slime time game.
No, I'm not
watching the game on slime time on Sunday. No. So we're going to be in trouble there if it goes down that way. So we'll be watching that game Sunday afternoon. And the game that we'll be watching on the nightcap of our flight to Seattle, if the TVs are working, which we pray to God that they are, will be Tom Brady and the Dallas Cowboys. What stands out about that matchup?
A great game week one last season to open the year. And now Tom Brady will take his perfect 6-0 record against the Cowboys in his career. That's tied for his second most wins without a loss against any team. So Brady perfect against the Cowboys. He will become the first quarterback in NFL history to start a game at 45 years old. You just continue to say the first with Brady. Yeah. And then, you know, as we get more to the game on the field, I think a few interesting things to keep an eye on. How much will the Buccaneers blitz against Dak Prescott, who was one of the best quarterbacks facing added pressure last season? The Bucs were a very blitz happy defense. And then for Brady, certainly, how will he adjust with a different offensive line? Three starting offensive linemen from last year won't be on the field in week one. Two of them aren't with the team anymore. And the way that I think he'll get around that he kind of always has, is getting rid of the ball quickly, right? Last season, second fastest time to throw in the NFL. And if you really dig into the numbers, I was looking at this earlier this morning, even on downfield throws, the rate that he gets rid of it quicker compared to the rest of the league is amazing. So I think as long as he can keep doing that, he's got plenty of the wide receiver weapons there. I think the Bucs will be fine.
It's going to have to be very quick. There are a lot of questions about that offensive line. I think Shaq Mason's going to be fine. I think Robert Hainsey at center is going to be fine. I think the questions are at that one guard spot with the rookie guard.
And as you know, we've talked about this for years, the way to get pressure on Tom Brady, I'm not saying anything that anybody doesn't know, the way to get pressure on him is up the middle. So with those two guards, and you know, that'll be the spot to keep an eye on with the offensive line.
That's his kryptonite. Evan, when's the next time we're going to see you on Sunday Countdown, by the way?
Oh, I don't know. We've got some plans in the works this season. I don't know about week one, but hopefully soon.
Well, hopefully you'll get your call off the bench. You're kind of like on the practice squad.
Always be ready. I'm always ready in the bullpen.
Yeah, you get summoned up on Saturday. It's like the player being signed to the active roster right before the game, and they tell him, hey, your time to shine.
Exactly. Always be ready.
Well, I appreciate you shining today, Evan. Thank you very much for the time and the insight. We'll see you in the studio for Sunday Countdown this week and then out in Seattle for the Monday night countdown preceding the first Monday night football game of the year, Denver at Seattle. Thanks again, Evan.
Thanks for having me, Adam. Can't wait to get going.
And there he is, the ESPN's research producer, Evan Kaplan. And that stat on Aaron Rodgers blows me away. I mean, it blew away A.J. Dillon, who didn't know about it. I didn't realize that. And it would be hard to go two straight seasons without throwing a single interception against your division. But that's exactly what Aaron Rodgers has done here the last 2 years. That streak will be on the line Sunday when it all begins. As for the events here, we spent a lot of time in this podcast talking about fantasy football. By now, most people have concluded their fantasy drafts. If you're listening to this podcast on opening weekend, you've definitely wrapped up your fantasy drafts. But my fantasy drafts, both of them, Wednesday night, I know people don't care about other people's fantasy teams, but this is, to me, one of the best days of the year. You have the fantasy draft day, which is Wednesday, September 8th. And then you have the opening day, or Wednesday, September 7th. And then you have the opening day of the NFL season this Sunday, September 11th. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait to begin. And we will be in this space every single week to try to bring some information, insights, and analysis to you in this very same spot. I want to thank A.J. Dillon, the Packers running back, for his time today on his day off, which he recorded with us on Tuesday morning. I want to thank ESPN's research producer, Evan Kaplan, for his insights. I want to thank my great producers, Christina Buswell and Sarah Abbott, for putting together this podcast. And you, the listener, for tuning in to another Adam Schefter podcast. Please join us again next week. We'll be back in this very same spot. And until then, have a great week and enjoy week one.